Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I hope everybody can hear me just fine. If not, please let somebody know, and I will try to adjust the issues and problems that we're having. Also, today I want to announce that this show right now is being live streamed on YouTube. However, I am still not sure how to get everybody the link to the YouTube. I am in the process of trying to get that right now, but I am on YouTube right now and I am seeing it live. This is an attempt to further educate and help assist our people. Hopefully we can get this whole thing resolved here soon. I am going to send this into the Skype room under the new Ensign chat and see if people can look at this or not. But this is under the Assembly of Christian Israelites live stream. So we are trying some new things, and unfortunately, given that the recent attacks by the Antifa and Zog communities, or the Jewish-run communities, are attacking the white nationalist community with all of their attacks on the websites being taken down recently. All of our PayPal accounts are being stopped. We are trying to find some new ways to get the message out. And one of them, like I said, we're trying to do is trying to live stream this episode on YouTube. And I see that we've already got some comments. Okay, audio is good. Audio is good. That's good. Now, once we can figure out this live stream with YouTube to get people the link to it, you guys will actually be able to sit back and watch me do this. And with the live stream, we are going to try, once it all gets figured out and it's taken care of, I'm going to attempt to do a split screen where I can put some stuff up on the live stream as well, whether it be biblical verses or pictures or things like that. But we're going to try to do that. So with that being said, last week we started to go through a new book of mine called The Process of Conversion. Now, I'm looking at this now and seeing that there's not going to be another hour show with this book. So what I'm going to do probably is this. We will continue with The Process of Conversion, and then I might end up going back to the two nations that changed the world for the last half of the show, if it takes that long. Now, I know that some people are not going to be here listening. They've got some things they got to take care of, but I appreciate you being here now. So hopefully this will work out right. If not, then I have another week to get it all prepped up and ready to go. The divine-truth.org website is being redone again to make it more user-friendly. The Assembly of Christian Israelite.org website is done, but for some weird reason it's not taking, so I need to go back through and rewrite all the code and figure out what the problem is. Hopefully we're not going to be shut down like many of the other white nationalists or Christian identity websites have been, but you never know with the Jews and their little minions. So let's get right into The Process of Conversion. And last week we left off, I had just done a section called Not the Easy Way. Now we're going to start out with resisting three enemies. And as I said, this is probably not going to take an hour to do, but we will try our best to get in what we can. I am not monitoring the chat room right now, as I'm trying to keep an eye on the live stream to make sure we're still going good in there. But somebody's in there, I'm sure I'll get a Skype message if something goes wrong or the audio is not working. But we'll take care of that when it comes around. But now, the resisting of the three enemies in the process of conversion. Christians are constantly at war on three different fronts. They must be vigilant. not neglecting potential danger from any of the three enemies who regularly confront them. It takes humility for a Christian to acknowledge to himself and to Yahweh that any one of these adversaries can overwhelm him. So let's take a brief look at them. Ephesians 6 goes on to describe six pieces of armor that Christians use in spiritual warfare. So I would like for you to carefully read verses 12 through 7 of the Ephesians 6. They contain a strong warning not to forget that we are wrestling against spiritual matters of wickedness and the heavenlies. First, the devil and his fallen spirits want to defeat and destroy every son of Elohim in the making. If you are begotten of Elohim, you are a son of Yahweh, carrying enormous potential for rulership. The devil hates the prospect that you can receive what he has never been offered. That, my friends, is membership into the family of the Elohim. You need to be an Adamite. You need to be of the Ha'adam, H-A-A-D-A-M, to receive, first off, the blessing of Yahweh. Second off, you have to be able to have the breath of lives within you. And we've done several sermons on this, as have many of the pastors and other people here on EuroFolkRadio.com. So we're not going to really get into that too much here this evening. We're going to try to keep it moving as fast as we can. Satan, or the diabolical one, the devil, the dragon, however you want to define him, lies in wait like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And that scriptural reference is 1 Peter 5:8. But he cannot defeat the sober or those who resist him. Verse 9. A Christian must continually be aware of and resist the diabolical one's attitudes creeping into his mind. Now, I know that this has been happening a lot lately within the white nationalists and two-seedline Christian identity community. It's even occurred on occasions with me here recently where I was just downtrodden in spirit and was thinking that this is not what I was supposed to do, but I'm praying about it and continuing to keep the faith. I've been able to get back into it again and hopefully be able to provide people with the services and the spiritual guidance that they need. Now, I know I'm not like some of the pastors here on Eurofolk Radio who think that they are the only ones who can preach to two-seedline Christian identity. And these people know who I'm talking about. Everybody that is to seed line has the right or the ability to preach if they are educated in the to seed line Christian identity faith. Now, there are a lot of people out there who claim to seed line but have no idea what to seed line Christian identity is, nor what is required of them. And then, of course, on the other spectrum, you have those who say they are the only ones who can preach two-seedline Christian identity. They are the only ones who have the right to preach two-seedline Christian identity. And you know what? I really don't care what that individual thinks, nor do I care what he will say in the future. But there are other two-seedline Christian identity pastors out there. There are those who other people do follow because they do know what they're talking about, whether this person wants to think that they do or don't. That, my friends, is the devil working on the separation of our identity, of our two-seed line faith. It is not supposed to be, I'm better than this person, or this person is better than that person. It is a combination of white nationalists, of two-seed line Christian identity individuals coming together to do what we are required to do by Yahweh, who is our Heavenly Father, who is our Lord, who is our Master, who we take our commands and orders from. Now, for those who say, well, Yahweh has told me that I'm the best, well, that's an out-and-out lie. That's the devil, or the diabolical one, talking directly to you. So, I know that a lot of people are probably like, well, you shouldn't be talking like that. Well, no, I should be. Because people who say that they are the best is nothing but the devil speak. Pure and simple. And like I said, this individual knows who I'm talking about. And it's been done time and time again. You know, it is not one is better than the other. We are all here united for one common purpose. So get that through your thick, bullheaded skull and get the Satan speech out of your system now and come back to the 2C blindfold and work as one cohesive unit with everybody at EFR who is 2C line, who is trying to teach and preach the proper message of Yahweh our Elohim. Or have you forgotten what it is to be one race working for one common goal? Second, 1 John 5:19, it states, all the world lies in the wicked one. That is a very strong indictment of, now I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it this way because this is what it's in reference to, mankind, not Adam kind. Remember, there's a distinction between the two. We have gone over that many times before. That is a very strong indictment of mankind. Yet there is in your holy scripture. It's located right there, 1 John 5:19. The Christian must also resist the pull of this world with all its glitter, excitement, and attractiveness, along with its temptations. This is not Yahweh's world. The Gad of this world, and I did say Gad, not God. Gad is a false god, a false deity. The true Elohim is not the author of confusion, ignorance, and misery that permeate all of the many cultures and societies of the Dark One's world. And of course, the Dark One is the diabolical one, Satan, the devil, the dragon, the demon, the fork-tongued viper Jews, all of those combined, and anybody who serves the diabolical one. There are many temptations, traps, and pitfalls into which the true Israelite Christian can easily fall if he is not close to Elohim and living by every word of the scripture, Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4. Paul instructed the Ephesian elders, and now brothers, I commit you to Elohim and to the world, or to the word of his favor, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those having been set apart. The set apart race, the Adamic race, the Ha'adam, the Caucasian race, the Nordic race, the Aryans of the world. Not the Jews, not the niggers, not the Spics, not the yellow skins, not the brown skins. The white, Caucasian, Aryan, meaning noble, peoples of the world who have received and been granted the breath of lives. Now remember, we've also discussed the fact that there are the whites out there who are not of breath of lives, but are, you know, those who lay with non-whites who portray themselves as mightier and holier than everybody else, those who dress and act like niggers, those who are part of the Black Lives Splatter movement, those who lay with their own kind, i.e. homosexuals, and so on and so forth and such. That has also been discussed numerous occasions by the pastors on EFR and myself as well, and the recordings are out there for people to listen to. So that was from Acts 20:32, and it needs to be studied daily. Actually, it should be read daily because it is it's an important verse that you must utilize on a daily basis and remember it. So we're going to read it again, and I hope that you would get your Bibles or your Holy Scriptures out and follow along. It's Acts 20:32, And now, brothers, I commit you to Elohim and to the word of his favor, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those having been set apart. Third, studying Yahweh's word will help you overcome the pulls of your flesh. After Paul said, for the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the spirit is life and peace. He then subsequently added the following, and those who are in the flesh are unable to please Elohim. Romans 8:6 and 8:8. A Christian is still made of flesh, but is no longer in the flesh, because he has Yahweh's Spirit leading him. Once again, the Adamic, Aryan, Caucasian race of the world. The minority, mind you. If left unchecked, Adam kind nature consists of vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, envy, resentment, hatred, anger, pride, rebellion, foolishness, stubbornness, deceit, and hostility toward Yahweh. The one who is walking Yahweh's path is striving to curb and withhold himself wherever Elohim's words instruct. And he strives to exercise himself in all matters where Elohim instructs. When Yahweh gives instructions to do something, he strives to do it. When Yahweh gives instructions to not to do something, he strives not to do it. While learning to always follow his pattern takes a lifetime, building Yahweh's character is the purpose for which every Adam kind being was and is born. His job is to put on the character of Yahweh and Yahshua and to put off the fleshly pulls of human nature. Colossians 3:8-13. Though this is not easy, it's not easy to do, but the reward is great. Only through regular prayer, Holy Scripture study, meditation, and even occasional fasting, of course, which is going without food or water for an extended period of time, will the Adam kind children of Yahweh be able to overcome the three foes that lie in wait for him every day of his life. The Holy Scripture is filled with stories of Yahweh's greatness or greatest servants battling to overcome sin. In nearly every case, they had to learn difficult and sometimes very painful lessons when examined collectively. Moses, Noah, David, Samuel, Peter, and many others are seen to have fought every kind of problem known to the Adam, or to the Aryan Caucasian race, the Adamite, the Israelites. Paul represents a classic example of how one of Elohim's greatest servants fought to overcome sin. At the end of his life, he could say that he had fought the good fight and that he had run his course, knowing that a crown awaited him. But this did not happen without much wrestling, pressing, running, fighting, and warring against his own human nature. Carefully read Romans 7:14-23. It will educate and encourage you that you are not alone on your path to overcoming the diabolical one, the Jewish dictated society, and yourself, all of which actually lead to sin. Paul said, "For we know that the Torah is spiritual, but I am fleshy, sold under sin. For what I work, I know not. For what I wish, that I do not practice, but what I hate, I do. Romans 7:14-15. He continued, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells absolutely no good. For to wish is present with me, but to work the good I do not find. For the good that I wish to do, I do not do, but the evil I do not wish to do, this I practice." Verse 18-19. And I would like to say hello to the two people who are watching this on live stream on YouTube. Thank you for joining me. I just noticed that you were there. It was as though whatever Paul did or did not want to do, his human nature, meaning his flesh, caused him to do exceedingly the opposite of that. Why is that? Yahweh inspired him to record the answer for the Adamites or the Israelites to see and to read into the future, and this is what he said. "I find, therefore, this law, that when I wish to do the good, that the evil is present with me. But I see another Torah in my members, battling against the Torah of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the Torah of sin, which is in my members." Verses 21-23. Paul went on to add that only through the power of Yahshua's mind in him was he able to overcome and obtain final victory in keeping the law of Elohim, instead of obeying the very real Jewish law of sin. And the Jews were synonymous for that. They had taken everything that the scriptures represented and what the Torah represented and completely changed them around and made them all laws of sin. They corrupted the holy book. Only in this way could Paul later say that he had fought the good fight and he had, of course, run his course, and that was to victory. Make no mistake about it. Christianity is an all-out war. Has been, will be, and will continue to be long into the future. But it is a war that the Christian should expect to win. We've seen it. It's been told. So why we are sitting back doing nothing, I have no idea. We need to make sure that we are prepared and that we have our brothers and sisters prepared as well, both physically and spiritually. They must be awoke. They must be ready to do what they have to do. And it must be done now. With all of the eradication of our history that is currently going on by the Black Lives Splatter movement, the true racist community, we have to get ourselves prepared mentally and physically for the challenges that are going to be ahead of us. These challenges, these commands, the history of our people, of our nation, must stand and do as the Holy Scripture has commanded us to do, and that is to prepare, to put on the full armor of Yahweh, our Elohim, and prepare for the battles that are about ready to be waged, and even sometimes we must initiate a battle. If he continues to draw close to Yahweh, the Adamite, he will obtain the strength needed for the overcoming. Yahweh looks on the intent of your heart. It is your overall desire and motivation that is important to him. He wants to know if, after you sin, you are sorry for it and are always determined to strive to do better. Now, he also understands the temptations that beset us even better than we do ourselves. He watches to see if we will be sober and vigilant as we root sin out of our lives and whether we will continually press on. Never give up, never surrender. You're an Adamite. You're an Israelite. You are a chosen body member of Yahweh the Elohim. You are the chosen race. Your duty is never give up, never surrender. Keep true to your two seed line faith. Keep true to Christianity. Keep Yahweh close at heart. Keep your family close and prepare yourself mentally and physically for the battles that are going to be fought. These battles that are going to be fought that we have been continuing to beat into the minds of our listeners is coming. There is no stopping it. And if you think that it's going to stop, it's not going to happen unless we get out there and we take back what is rightfully ours and stop the eradication of our history, our culture, our nation, our heritage, our race, and bring it back from extinction level, which is almost impossible to do at this point in time, but it still can be done. How? Training yourself mentally and physically. Preparing yourself spiritually by getting your Bibles and keeping them close at hand and reading them on a continual basis. Learning from the passages that are inside this book will keep you prepared and educated for the events that are about to come. We cannot stop this, nor should we want to stop this, because this is what Yahweh has told us is going to happen. And if I'm not mistaken, and if you are reading the same book I have, we win. There is no we don't win. We win the battle. We win the war. And we will reign supreme if we do as the Holy Scripture tells us to do, and we keep ourselves educated, we keep ourselves physically prepared and mentally prepared and emotionally prepared, but more importantly, spiritually prepared. We cannot fight Yahweh's battles if we are not spiritually prepared. That is a priority that a lot of the Adamite Israelite people are failing to realize. We have the playbook. We have the script. We have the movie, and it's right here. And from the beginning to the very end of it proves that we will be victorious. And for those who doubt it, go back and read your Holy Scriptures again. And if you continue to doubt it, then you're not a Christian. The all-powerful Elohim, who made the heavens and the earth, also made you, the Adamites. Now, he also did create other races. We know this. But he created you, the Israelite, the Ha'adam, for a reason. That reason is for the rulership of this world when the time comes. Yes, the time is coming. It must be reiterated. And I know people have a tendency not to like some of my sermons because I repeat myself repeatedly. However, it should be done because it needs to be driven into you of who and what you are. You are an Adamite. You are an Israelite. You are a person who has the breath of lives and are going to be on that front line defending those who do not have the faith because they are our brothers and sisters. They will eventually return to us. They will see what is going on in the world. Now, I know a lot of people don't see it, but we are going to win. We will be victorious. The physical universe was merely created to reflect the glory of the Elohim who made it, and to be a beautiful gift for Adamkind to see, know, and enjoy. Once again, the Adamkind, not the man or the men of the field or the beast of the fields, nor those who are to be subservient to Adamkind. The white race has the power, the ingenuity, and the gift to see things and get things done, to accomplish things, because nothing is outside of our scope, because Yahweh has placed that ability within us as particular individuals and a race to be able to accomplish many, many factors into the future. We're the ones who built the ships, who built houses, who built the weapons, who have gone to war. I mean, throughout history, it's the white race who has been in every battle in the world, unless it's one that was created in Africa against Africans. And then we, to be honest with you, don't want anything to do with it. I would just as soon leave it there and just take a nuke or two and just blow them completely off the face of the earth. However, we do need beasts of the field. We do need to have those subservient people to serve the needs of who we are to accomplish things so we can make this world a better place and we can spend more time doing that what needs to be done. Having those people here will help bring in the food from the fields, give us the cotton. Yes, you're a cotton picker. Blacks are cotton pickers. Blacks have no use on this earth except for sitting there out into the beasts of the field. They are burdensome beasts who need to work instead of having everything handed to them on a silver platter because they cry racism. Well, we're crying racism. But yet, nothing is being done about that. Why? Because maybe we don't have the cojones to go out and do what needs to be done. And we should. We should not be sitting back watching what's going on. We should be out there, frontline, defending our faith, our heritage, our history, our culture, and our race. So what if you're labeled a racist? Who cares? You are a racist. Every single person on this earth, I don't care what color your skin is racist to some degree, form, and fashion. It may be a little bit racist, or like us, a whole lot racist. But we have one thing that is better. We're racist because of who we are. We know what we're supposed to be. We know our history. It's been written for us right here. Our present, right here. Our future, right here. Holy Scriptures. Don't deny who you are. Do not give people the benefit of saying, oh, you're a racist, and then run scared. No. Don't hide who you are. Don't hide the fact that you're an Adamite, an Israelite, an Aryan, a nobleman. Take it out there. Let it be known. People around me know who I am. They know what I'm about. I don't hide it. I shouldn't have to hide it, nor should you. You were created for an infinitely greater purpose. You were created to become like Elohim, to build perfect, holy, righteous character. Yahweh is actually reproducing himself in his chosen Israelite people, not the Jewish people, in which is commonly taught in today's society. That is not truth. That is lies. That is goes back to the creation of the Ashkenazis and every one of those venomous, viperous pricks who have taken what Yahweh has given to us and completely manipulated it and turned it into something entirely different. It's with those creepy crawly things, it is not about Yahweh or Elohim's laws. It's about their laws, their rules, their money. Whatever they want, everybody else should give them. It is not about them. It is about the Israelite people, the Ha'adam, the white Aryan Caucasian race of Yahweh or Elohim, the chosen or set apart race. Period. Just as you are the child of parents and possibly have children of your own, Yahweh is your parent. As you physically look like your parents and your children look like you, he wants you to look like him in the spiritual character as well as the color of your skin. I know, shocking, isn't it? Rarely anymore do people even talk about or concern themselves with the development of a character once called virtue. It seems that so few people today understand much about it. Only through Yahweh's revealed holy word is the right definition of character described and understood. Character is the understanding, the knowing, right from wrong, and doing what is right instead of what is wrong. Yahweh reveals what is right. Thus, he reveals to us how we, the Adamite, the Israelite, set apart race, is to live. Us. Not them. Not all those non-white heathen hordes, but the white Israelite Adamic breath of lives race. The set apart race. Not those who claim to be and have no proof of. But righteous character is built through the power of free moral agency, deciding to do what is right. Like any muscle of the body, character is built by pushing against resistance, thus strengthening the muscle, in this case the mind, undergoing the resistance. Character chooses to do what is right instead of choosing to do what is wrong. It does not concern itself with what other people say or do. It only concerns itself with what Yahweh says to do. Yahweh is love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. It is outgoing, outflowing concern for other Adamites. Putting them first ahead of the interests of ourselves. You need to constantly remind yourself that to build the very character of Elohim is the reason why you were born. Recall that Paul said Yahweh's spirit reflects a sound mind, even on the human level. Few people today have very much common sense. It seems harder than ever to remain balanced and stable as pressures and stresses surrounding the set apart race or people cause them to do more things that are unsound, strange, and even bizarre. Yahweh's Spirit will lead you into a stable, steady, and sound way of thinking. Philippians 4:8. It will help you see the things going on around you, and you can then react to them in a manner like Yahshua. It will settle your understanding and lead you to make a wise, right, and thus sound decision in your everyday life. Apply yourself. Push yourself to grow and to overcome. Do not expect it to be easy, like falling off of a log. You have to grow in the knowledge. Once converted, recognize that you have been chosen to be a soldier and must sometimes endure the hardness. As Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:3 through 4, breaking all your old habits will take time. After all, you have practiced and, in a sense, even refined them over your lifetime. Your habits have become a part of you. They are like second nature. However, remember that they are not the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4. That entered into you with the receiving of Yahweh's Spirit at baptism and conversion. If you are an adult listening to this or even reading the book, it took you 15 to 20 years just to grow to a certain height. True Christianity is absolutely not different in any way, shape, or form. That is a long time, and it probably included many growing pains. You probably fell and skinned your knee or bloodied your nose many times before you reached your adult age or adulthood. True Christianity is absolutely not different. There's no difference. Do not become discouraged and quit growing, any more than a child should become discouraged and quit life simply because he may have fallen or skinned a knee. When your child falls, you tell him or her to get up, because it is a real part of life. It happens. True Christianity is no different. Little children always want to grow up faster than life's timetable permits. And trust me, I know. I have a 6-year-old who thinks she's 21. Literally. Though childhood is wonderful in many ways and aspects, it seems that most young people cannot wait for adulthood. True Christianity is no different. But a full, mature, true Christian adulthood only comes after a long, extensive period of practicing the right way of life and reading the Holy Scriptures and living by the Word of Yahweh. We have established that all Adam kind begins in sin. Should the newly awakened Christian expect this to continue after their baptism? Is perfection achieved overnight by a certain profession of the faith, or by the act of repentance and baptism? No, it's not. There is one lengthy passage of Scripture that is very helpful about forgiveness and related matters. The following verses bear much instruction, but only after first reading all of them. Now notice, we announce to you what we have seen and heard, so that you too might have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Yahshua Messiah. And we write this to you in order that your joy might be complete. And this is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that Elohim is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and are not doing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Yahshua Messiah, his son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we are misleading ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is trustworthy and righteous to forgive us the sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I write this to you so that you do not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an intercessor with the Father, Yahshua Messiah, a righteous one. And he himself is an anointing offering for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for all of the Adamic world. 1 John 1:3 through 2:2. There are extremely important instructions here. So, we only have about 10 minutes. So it looks like, I didn't think we were, I actually figured we were going to get through all this, but we're not. There are extremely important instructions here. So, do me a favor, grab your holy scriptures. Dust them off, pull them out from under your beer or whatever, wherever you have them. But they should always be sitting right here next to you. And let's examine a couple of the verses. Verse 3, John, the last living apostle in the scriptures, speaking on behalf of all the apostles, the we, explains that a Christian's true fellowship is on the spiritual plane with Yahshua and the Father. It is only through them that Christians can have real, true fellowship with one another within Yahweh's assembly. Verse 4, John's purpose was to show true Israelites the source of real, permanent fullness of joy. Verse 5, the one and only Elohim represents light. He is light. And there is nothing dark about what he does or who he is. The person fellowshipping with the true Elohim of the Holy Scriptures wants to come to the light and come out of all the darkness of this world. This is the first of verse 6. This is the first of 6 verses beginning with the word if. The use of this word always indicates conditions. In this case, those involving free moral agency. Many people claim to know Yahweh, to fellowship with him, but they neither know nor practice his truth in their daily lives. He says this makes them plain liars. 2:4. Now, verse 7. Yahshua's blood continues to cleanse all the sins. The same blood that runs through you, the Adamite, the Israelite, the breath of lies, Ha'adam. The errors, mistakes, weaknesses, and flaws of the person who is striving to walk in Yahweh's truth and in fellowship with other true Christians. Though they usually do not intend to, Christians slip and must get back on the right track. The road that we travel is not a straight road. It has paths. It has curves. It has its lows and its highs. It has roads that go off of the main road. But just like in our country, there are no straight roads. Even a road that you think is straight eventually has a curve in it. You cannot take a highway from the East Coast to the West Coast in a direct straight line. It doesn't happen. Such is the life of a Christian. The path is not straight. The devil, or the diabolical one, is always going to put in some sort of a curve, twist, up or down. And sometimes he even puts a brick wall in front of you. You have to make your choice on how you're going to get through that brick wall. Yahweh's way or the diabolical's way, diabolical one's way. It's the only way to go through. Verse 8. Now this verse is extremely important. Christians need to acknowledge that they sin. Yes, they sin. We sin. Everybody sins. It has been my experience that self-deceit, reference Jeremiah 17:9, is the single biggest reason most people do not grow and overcome as they should. Self-deceit, lying to yourself, is still deceit, no matter how you look at it. And there is no place for the truth to dwell in such a person. I think a particular person who, anyway, let me say this again because this is important. Verse 8, Christians need to acknowledge that they sin. It has been my experience that self-deceit, Jeremiah 17:9, is the single biggest reason most people do not grow and overcome as they should. Self-deceit, lying to yourself, is still deceit, and there is no place for truth to dwell in such a person. Verses 9 through 10. Verse 9 is not speaking about the unconverted, carnal-minded person. For the one who acknowledges and confesses his sins, these verses are self-evident. Yahshua Messiah is there to wash, to clean up the true Christian when he has momentarily strayed from the light of living by Yahweh's word and law. The true Christian must learn to overcome, like learning to play the piano or even painting a beautiful picture. This does not happen overnight, and as such, takes time. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. John uses the endearing term, my little children, because that is how Yahweh looks at his begotten sons and daughters, the Adam kind, Adamic, Caucasian race, the set apart race. We are all little children in his sight. He knows he needs to watch over us like biological parents watch over their own small children. Though it is Yahweh's intention that we not sin, when we do, Yahshua stands before the Father as our advocate, as our high priest, reference Hebrews 4:14-16. Yahshua literally roots for his younger brothers and sisters in the presence of the Father. He understands what it is like to battle with and overcome sin, and he offers strength and forgiveness to those who acknowledge that they need both. The next four verses in 1 John 2 describe the obedient Christians as one who keeps Yahweh's law and strives to walk and live the same life that Yahshua did in verse 6. He is one who keeps his, Elohim's, word, striving not to compromise. He always seeks to do what is right. When you stumble, and you will stumble, and sometimes when you fall, and you will fall, remember David's words. Mem, the steps of a man are ordered by Yahshua, and he delights in his way. Though he falls, he is not cast down. For Yahweh is supporting his hand. Psalms 37, 23 through 24. Like a parent lifting or steadying a child, Yahweh regularly picks up his chosen children. Let this wonderful promise of Elohim encourage you when you feel discouraged because you have fallen short in the Christian walk. Now, folks, we only have 2 minutes left, and unfortunately there's only 2.5 pages left. I'm not going to be able to get to it today, and I'm going to be terminating the live stream as well. But folks, remember what you've heard. Keep the faith, stay strong in your daily routines, study your holy scriptures, go and visit the websites while they are still there. Look at the videos while they are still there. Listen to 99% of the pastors and preachers on eurofolkradio.com. There's one or two that, in my opinion, don't even need to be on EFR anymore, but they are. So stay strong, stay faithful, trust in yourself, but most importantly, trust that Yahweh will lead you down the path that you need to go down. He's not going to place in front of you an obstacle or a hurdle that Yahshua the Messiah did not have placed in front of him. You know, with as being a parent, there's a lot of times where I say to my kids, do as I say, not as I do. And that's absolutely wrong. I should be doing what I'm asking them to do. So stay strong, stay faithful in Yahshua and Yahweh, and may Yahweh bless and keep each and every one of you.